Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Good afternoon. My name is Arnstein Valdimarsson, CEO of K3. Rob Price, CFO, with me today, and we're going to tell you about the business. In a very few words, what K3 does is provides business technologies to companies in the supply chain sector. That means retailers, manufacturers, distributors. K3 has grown through the years through acquisitions, and we are currently just over 700 people. We sell our IP through over 50 partners, got close to 4,000 customers, and around 90 million revenue. That's a very high level. Now, what we do for customers, we provide software solutions, we provide hosting solutions, managed services. We add our own IP to make it really specific for those verticals that we service. And we can do the whole implementation and support around those systems. Rob and I have been with the business since October 16. We were brought in to really drive a strategic change in the business. In the growth through acquisitions, there had been limited integrations, and the businesses, to a large extent, run as silos. But the reason why we liked the look of this business is really that line here. Massive experience, over 700 experts in that space. Great start on the IP journey in terms of selling own IP through partners. Fantastic customer base. That's a massive base to have, and a good solid engine. Now, and opportunities because of the lack of integration, and because of the IP was only a small part of the business. There was lots of opportunities to do this make this into a fantastic company. In terms of the drivers that we've been working on over the last 20 months, say, one of the key is unification, getting all those businesses together. Like I said, there were disparate systems and platforms around the group. The companies had their, or the different portfolio companies had their own infrastructure. So there was a lot of efficiency to be driven out of just bringing those things together. Really making IP the core of the business instead of it being just one of the business lines. IP is absolutely core to what we do. And then sort of structuring the business around that and making sure that the routes to market were clear, not around specific products, more about how we engage with customers. In terms of the product offering that we have, as in on top of the third-party solutions we sell, we have two strands of IP. So one strand is based on third-party ERP systems. Microsoft Dynamics is one, Sage is one, well-known in the UK. Cispro is another that we have. We resell, but then we add our own software to that to really make it specific for the vertical that we are supporting. Now, that has pros and cons because you are quite reliant on the author of the underlying platform. But it also means that there's a lot of branding and brand equity you get with working with those large names. So that's sort of where we're coming from. What we're doing now is moving into a different type of IP, ERP agnostic, cloud native, fully controlled by ourselves. So that is the Imagine platform. And we've just launched that cloud solution, which is really the platform for our IP development going forward. With Imagine, we can really bring point solutions to customers without having to replace all their infrastructure, replace their ERP system. We can bring, for example, kiosks or mobile point of sales or other applications into their estate and integrate it back into their back office system. So it becomes a much lighter touch, easy sale and easy implementation. Where we're coming from, that isn't just coming out of thin air. We acquired a business called DDD just over two years ago. And DDD is a Scandinavian software company. that really is born in the cloud and has been providing point-of-sale solutions on a cloud basis, as in very simple. You sign up for the service, you get the point of sale shipped, and it's up and running within minutes. Nobody has to go on site and do any consultancy or implementation work. It really is a slick business model, and we've taken that model, both the business model and the technology, and now made that into our platform for the future, not just for retail, but also for manufacturing distribution. So in terms of then how we go to market, historically, that's been through those different siloed businesses. And now we are doing this through four key pillars. In the U.K. and Ireland, we have a team of close to 500 people. We support 2,000 customers about, and that's where we provide the full service of solutions, hosting, managed service, and all those different ERP products, plus our IP. So if you are a customer in the supply chain industry, we can provide you with your IT requirements. In Europe, that's where we're doing the light touch engagement, really driving the software as a service model, selling standard software off the shelf with limited support and hardly any implementation, plug and play, and a really scalable part of the business. So that is where we currently have 3,500 stores supported, 1,200 of them already in the cloud, and then we are moving that base over to the cloud and also attacking new customers and getting new customers in. Global accounts is then yet another engagement model, much more complex because that's where we're working with IKEA, and we had developed a master version for IKEA that we then roll out to their franchisees. So we basically work with IKEA on a global basis, so when they sign up new franchisees for the different countries, we come in with those systems and implement that for them. And then we have a direct support relationship with those retailers, with those franchisees in the different countries. That's really been growing recently. We've given that an extra focus, doubled the team around that. There's now close to 90 people really servicing that model. We're starting to sell our own IP into there, and there's big growth ambitions around the IKEA base, but also we're starting to talk to customers that have similar global requirements about using our expertise in assisting them in their business management. And then the fourth pillar is the channel partners, where we sell our own IP, not direct to customers, but through partners that do the implementation and services. And just quickly on channel partners, this is a key for us because that helps us scale without us having to do the heavy lifting of services around large implementations. We're working with many of the larger system integrators in the world that they use. So they take the core platforms for, say, Microsoft, they add our IP for fashion, and then they implement that for their customers. And by clarifying our strategy around partners and not being in a competitive situation with them, we've really driven some great engagements. And in the last 6 months, we have closed 7 cases on AXS Fashion, for example, and 6 of those have been through the partner network. So very much moving to making sure that IP is at the core. We're much more into getting the IP out there and supporting partners to deliver it. Just had our results out, and a quick note on first half. We've really been driving change around the business, and we are starting to see that come through the numbers now. That is really, really promising. A lot of the joining up has been done, merged several practices. We had four, for example, four different Dynamics, Microsoft Dynamics practices in the U.K. They have now all been joined into one. We had several European POS point of sale companies. They have now been joined into one. We have launched the Imagine platform, which is now had our first customer on that, and then that is really the platform for the future for us, and it's really generating discussions with our customer base, so it enables us to do more with our customers. Great, sort of comeback of the solutions that we've been developing for many years. Like I said, 7 deals in the last 6 months compared to 7 in the 17 before that, and that is the channel strategy really kicking in. Really confident about the global accounts and the IKEA relationship and how that's been growing, and that will continue. We'll continue to give that this extended focus. And then just across the U.K., the mid-market activities have been performing well. visitor attractions. We're also into that vertical, selling the different ERP systems across the supply chain. That's been performing. Now the whole unification is starting to kick in terms of efficiency and sales motion. Really confident about that sort of first half and then moving strong into second. Now I'm gonna hand over to Rob to talk through the numbers.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. As Adelstein said, interim results are out on Monday, so this forms part of our City Roadshow. What we have here is the six-month interims to May against last year's. We changed the year-end as well, so you won't find these out in the. These won't historically have been released to the market. Those are our internal unaudited numbers. Really pleased with what's going on in our adjusted operating profit, so we're now back to profit, 1.7 million against 3.1 million loss for the comparatives. Gross profit margins climbing healthily and gross profits up themselves. Just a 2% increase in turnover, but actually good margin growth and as we'll see later, actually a lot of administrative and overhead costs come out as well. The business is getting tighter, better deliveries to customers, better margins pretty much on all fronts. High levels of recurring revenues. We have 18.7 million in that period that is referenced as recurring revenues being maintenance and support that's contracted. In addition to that, we probably have another 5 million or so that is in our global accounts that we have very high levels of visibility on in terms of while not contracted, we know it's there for a few years. The way we segment the business, we use Supply Chain Solutions. That's a reselling business, so referencing back to Adelstein's slide. Broadly, that's the UKIN business and the global accounts business, and our own IP is channel and the European plug-and-play business. Happy that on the right-hand side, both businesses now back to profit. Increasing margins on both of them in absolute terms and in percentage terms with, you know, reasonable growth in supply chains revenue. IP came back down a bit, but we'll look at that a bit more in detail so you can see what's going on beneath that. As we start shifting this business to be more IP rich, we'll expect those pie charts to become more evenly balanced. In terms of the profit margin, so the gross margin percentages of each of our income streams split between the two divisions, happy to say it against last year, all increasing. Services especially. Services has benefited from the lot of the restructuring we've been doing in the past 18, 20 months in terms of getting the business tighter, getting chargeabilities up, talking about better customer deliveries, less free of charge work, making contracts better all the way through. All that driving, and I think we should have certainly extra more in the tank for that. 26 feels still a bit low for me, so we should be looking at something beginning with a three on that, which as we'll see on here. This is the table that represents the broken down gross margins for each of those decomped between the various income streams. For our Supply Chain Solutions, we saw the revenue grow. Software came down a little, but that's our software that we resell. In 2017, we had the biggest deal that has been signed since Adelstein and I were here. That was the British Heart Foundation. Third-party products, so it's only 50% margin. What we've been doing is actually we've sold less deals, but we've implemented them better, so we've generated more margin. Particularly on the services margin, where we've had a volume growth here driven by global accounts, but actually the profitability has nearly doubled. Recurring revs, hardware, not much change on that. Within our own IP units, software licenses, particularly our AXs, has doubled since last year. This is where our channel strategy is really starting to pay off. This has a very low cost of sales, 94% gross margins, no risk on service delivery. Sold through partners, their responsibility. Big deals for us. Typically booked on a couple of years contracted, but something that people will keep for 10 or so years. Services dropped back. That was really due to our legacy IP business that we're going to use our Imagine and DDD products to replace that. We'll see that installed customer base being migrated to recurring revenues on a true SaaS cloud consumption model. One of the things this business had always struggled with, despite the sales and revenue growth since about 2014, well, sales would go and EBITDA would grow and free cash flow was like this. So money was, projects were being sold. There was a lot of, in accountancy terms, debit balance sheet, credit P&L on working capital and cap dev. So money was coming out of the business in terms of capitalized expenditure that really we weren't getting proper end-to-end value on, and multi-years being sold and put onto the balance sheet in terms of working capital. So what I've been doing since I've been here is very much focusing on working capital and working with the development guys on making sure we get the best bang for the buck on money spent, cash spent on our own IP. So that's reflected in a couple of things going on in here. One is that the comparative 6 months, balance sheet was pretty fat. So took an enormous out of working capital out, cashed that in, got the debt down. Operating profits were quite low. We had got some cap dev that we needed to continue working on. So we've done that. But that overall, there was a net cash outflow. But it had working capital inflows. What we have now is better cap dev. So the cap dev has been cut in half, but actually we're getting better bang for the buck on that. And we now have a more normalized working capital and H1 cash position. So whilst it showed an outflow, this is exactly in line where I wanted it to be and where I thought it would be, and that H2 is very strong. And the proof in the pudding is when I look back on the 12 months to May, again, numbers you won't necessarily see in the market because of the way the year ends changed and things. So we had 8.5 at the end of May, 18.5, and last July we went to the market and raised a placing and did a debt to equity swap at 9 million. So take out the 9. So we've already generated during that time of quite heavy restructuring, there was £1 million of cash generation. So, and I expect this business, certainly the market forecasts are showing for FY18 and 19 about £4 million of free cash flow.
Just to sum that up, this is a restructuring recovery mission. We've been at it now for, like we said, 20 months. The great thing about it is that once through it and once the business start generating cash again, then there is some real good assets in there that can really grow other than just the restructuring piece. And we can get the margins up and we can get the business as it stands to be profitable, but the IP piece of this can really be of value. And that's really where we're going. We're saying, okay, there's a fantastic customer base, there's fantastic experience within the business, and we now have the IP platform that can really take us forward in terms of growth. So we're on that journey, starting to see the benefits coming through the numbers. We materially reduced the cost base. That's annualized down 5 million since we've been here. As I say, IP strategy is now in a good place in terms of where we're going, in terms of future-proof IT strategy, IP strategy on in relation to the cloud. Some great opportunities with our major accounts, including the IKEA relationship. Pipeline now building healthily, and also with that is that discussion we are now able to have with our customer base of close to 4,000 on the back of the Imagine journey, is that we can now go into that base and talk to them about new developments, new solutions, and really get more deeper engaged with them and higher revenue per customer. H2 is quite H2 weighted in terms of numbers, so both in terms of cash gen and profitability. And the key for us is that we're just finding now that we're coming through that turn, starting to see really benefits of what we've been doing, but the realization of the real opportunity around the IP is still there to be done. Questions?
I just want to understand in a bit more detail the operational leverage in the business and how that might come through. You obviously had gross margin expansion across supply chain solutions and your own IP, mm-hmm. but the mix was relatively similar year on year. I mean, what should we be thinking about in terms of, you know, the gross margin by each reporting line, and also the product mix going forward? I mean, how can we see? I mean, just looking at that 52.2% gross margin you had in 2018, mm-hmm. what are the mechanics for that, for expanding that going forward?
Okay, So just at very high level, you will not change so much these percentages. This we should be able to get up to 30s very easily. Okay, plus some continued global accounts growth on this. So you have a volume growth on that and then a margin increase on that. And now the channel partner delivery system and route to market is working well. Start doing some more of this, and that's just 100% margin. Falls to operating profit with actually very little incremental sales cost. It's maybe a couple of extra flights because it's still the same guys. And as the channel partners get more and more experienced embedded in those deliveries, their expertise delivers, it becomes even less weighty on us. They're just all the way selling through. So, and this, of course, just throws off cash. They will, and those de facto become annual recurring revenues because they're attached to large ERP projects that people will keep for 10, 15 years. So.
And if you do the pie chart again, the next one. I mean, that's really the key for us to bring that into, well, close to equal to the supply chain. And because then the margin mix becomes much more exciting.
And then on the operating expenses line, you've taken cost out, but you're also reinvesting. Should we expect that to remain sort of broadly flat and operational leverage to come out through the expanding through revenue growth and expanding gross profit? Or are you going to have to start reinvesting back into the business, or should we see that drift down?
Yeah, so well, just give you a kind of an insight in what's actually happened operationally. So 18 months ago, there were about 16 different divisions with full support functions on separate accounting systems with central general ledgers. So each one had their own little finance team, and everyone used to send a spreadsheet each month to group to do their consolidated results. So we now have a group finance function, we have a group IT function, we have a group HR function. So, and my remit is, guys, you know, we've just got to do more for less. And there's no way we're going to be able to increase the cost on these. So we're going to keep the fixed cost the same and just start pumping more stuff through it.
It's only a quick question, actually. What percentage of your revenues does your largest customer constitute?
Global accounts is 10%.
Global accounts,
the global
plural.
Accounts, which is the IKEA franchise ecosystem, of which about half of that, so 5%, is the IKEA franchisee entity, and the other 5% split between the 12 franchisees.
All right. Oh, that's your only global account at the moment, is it? But you're intending to acquire some more then,
Exactly,
or just
exactly.
penetrate that particular?
Exactly.
Okay.
Within our global accounts division, we talk about the IKEA themselves, which we develop the master version for, and the retailers, their franchisees that we work directly with. So 12 customers, basically. And like Rob said, IKEA themselves are around half of that, so 5% of total.
But what's really interesting around that is our IP in global accounts isn't necessarily product, it's actually know-how on how to deliver global franchisee systems in different local fiscalizations on global platforms. So that's kind of really powerful.
Can you just tell us a little bit about the competitive landscape? And also, I know from a meeting I've had during the week about IKEA and what you've done for them. Yeah, so maybe it's just worth sharing that.
So in terms of the competitive landscape, it is different from what part of the business you're looking at. In the ERP world, there are several competitors. It's quite fragmented. You've got the usual suspects, well, some of them that we sell. I mean, Dynamics, we compete with other Dynamics partners. We've got Infor, we've got NetSuite, we've got all those sort of different packages. But what differentiates us is the IP that we can add to it. So that's why this is key, having our own IP to really add value to the standard packages. In the point of sale space, again, a lot of fragmentation, especially in Europe, you have lots of different POS systems, which actually is an opportunity for us because these tend to be legacy systems, not real future technically in that. And there is actually a good way of going into Europe with that imagined cloud native solution and roll out new technologies for those legacy POSs. But it's very fragmented. There isn't the one main one that we're competing against. Then in terms of the IKEA business, which we, and the global accounts. So what we do there, we have developed this core system based on Microsoft Dynamics. IKEA defines what that does and how that works with their core supply chain systems. When they sign up a new franchisee, we go and implement the ERP solution for them and make the integration back into IKEA Global. But we do it in such a way that we just deliver the standard master version of IKEA, and then we have the direct relationship with the retailer to provide them with other solutions, other integrations, localizations, etc. So it's a direct customer relationship with those retailers. And like I said before, now with previously IKEA was sort of treated as one customer. Now we're treating them as a different engagement, and starting to also push our own IP through that that channel. And then the next step in the journey for global accounts is to offer that sort of expertise to other companies that have similar global franchise management requirements. Did that cover?
There's a point about IKEA managing some of the store, them being the franchisee for some of their own.
Yeah, IKEA, what they call the Blue Group, manages about 90% of the stores. So historically, they have been doing that themselves. We've just closed a deal with them to do one of those stores. It's not a strategic move, but it's because of the time that it takes us to implement a new country is less than it takes them to do a to apply their full suite of solutions. So that's why we've agreed with them to do one next year. It's great to be in that game. We'll see how that pans out. But at least now we are being compared by their own stores as an option rather than having to take the main Blue Group systems. So it's that relationship with IKEA has evolved and is very strong. And in terms of the ramp up of resource and delivery capability that we've been doing over the last 18 months, that has really just cemented that relationship with IKEA and that whole ecosystem.
Okay, I'm going to break there if we may. Adelstein, Rob, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.